The reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and the laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that the manservant and the maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honour your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor."
So first of all, I want to thank the members of the house group of which I'm a part, because I invited them to be part of the preparation for what I'm going to say and share with you today. Of course, there's always got to be a disclaimer that they're not responsible for anything that I've said, but they were very helpful indeed. Now, when we hear the reading that Sue has read to us, perhaps we think especially of the Ten Commandments, and in many churches, especially parish churches in different parts of the country, you have the Ten Commandments on the wall. This particular one is actually quite difficult to decipher, but it's up in the Lake District. But I want to ask this morning, is the Ten Commandments, as we read that together, is this actually the heart of the message of this part of Deuteronomy? And what I want to suggest to you is that the heart of it lies somewhere else. The heart of it is the covenant. So what's the covenant? The covenant really is the commitment that God has made to his people. So that's where I think we should start, with a gift of God, sometimes called the covenant of grace. And I really like that description of the covenant. It brings us to the heart of what it is all about. It is God's commitment to us in action and springing from his grace. So the Ten Commandments are there, but the beginning, certainly in the reading that we had, this is very clear, that the beginning is God's action. God taking the people out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, rescuing them. So another word for this covenant is the covenant of redemption, which just means to be redeemed, to be freed, to be rescued. It's a covenant of salvation. Sometimes if we focus too much on the Ten Commandments, we think those are things we've got to do somehow. But actually, they're a response to God's wonderful love and grace. This covenant, of course, didn't begin with Moses. It goes back to Abraham, and before that, it goes back to Noah. And I like to think of it, and I think this is how the Bible presents it to us, as an expanding covenant. And we'll come back to that in a moment or two. So the Ten Commandments do come in, but they come in to guide the nation which God has already rescued. So the first move is with God. And here I'm going to turn to a book that I know quite a lot of us are reading. This book is to guide us through Lent. And Lucy, well, our very own Lucy Robinson, is one of the authors of this book. And although Lucy's bit comes a bit later, so if you're following it, you're not yet there, but I skipped ahead. I skipped ahead to see what Lucy wrote, and she wrote on the covenant. So it was just a great gift to have this part that Lucy has written in the book. And she talks about the covenant of God with Moses, making a promise, God's promise to Moses to bless the nation, and in turn then for the nation to pledge themselves to be distinct and different from the nations around them. So that's how the Ten Commandments fit in so well there. And Lucy speaks in this about another part of Scripture later on, and this part of Scripture takes us to the idea of a new covenant. And this new covenant is quoted in the New Testament as well, especially in the book of Hebrews. And it's a covenant that is in the hearts and minds of people. So it's not a covenant written just on stone, tables, tablets, bits of stone. But, as Lucy says, in this covenant, God will inhabit, will live in our living, our decision-making, our wills. And that's something more, isn't it, than just reading something and saying, I'll try to do it. It is God coming in and changing us so that our sins are forgiven. We've thought very much about this in our communion service this morning. And when we come to the writings of St. Paul, we find references to the idea of a new covenant. Example, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. God, says Paul, has made us the ministers, the servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, not simply of words that are written, but, he says, of the Spirit. And then a very, very radical statement. The letter kills, but the Spirit makes alive. And we know that the letter can kill, that if people feel failures all the time, trying to do something, they feel defeated by that. And that is not the work of the Spirit, is it? The work of the Spirit is to make new, to make real, to energize. And that is what the new covenant is all about. If you want to follow up the Jeremiah passage, it's Jeremiah 31, and it's quoted again extensively in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. So we've got a bit of a story emerging here. We've got a story of the people of Israel who were rescued. We've got a story of a covenant, which is a covenant of redemption, a covenant of salvation. And so what does that mean for us today here now in Histon Baptist Church? Well, we are still people of the covenant. The very fact that we had the Lord's Supper is a reminder of God's covenant, his covenant of grace to us. But there is a kind of development going on in this. It's the same, and yet it develops. When I think back to my days quite a long time ago now in human resources, which is my first kind of incarnation in my working life, I could think, and I still can, of companies that continue to do the core business, but the way in which they expressed that business and some of the ways in which they conducted themselves changed over time. So there was new kind of ways of doing things as well as the core business. So I think the core business of God remains the same. The core business is his grace. The core business is his saving purpose. But there are some new things that are going on for us. And I'm just going to suggest three things that I think are relevant to us today about the covenant, the new covenant. The new covenant, I think, is deeper. It's not an external covenant. It's not a covenant with a nation. Now, sometimes we think about churches as being national churches. In my days in Scotland, I was, for a while at least, part of the Kirk, the national church. And we were very proud of the Kirk, because, after all, we were the elect nation, weren't we, the nation of Scotland. Not true, because actually it's a deeper issue than just having a very imposing building and having lots of things that you want to say to the nation. There's something deeper. And I had a wonderful experience, and Janice did too, when God took us and guided us to become involved in work in parts of Europe. And this probably isn't very clear, but the college that we worked at in Central Europe was in Prague and has now moved to Amsterdam. But we were privileged to draw together people, not just from Scotland, although there were a few, but from many different places, including Lucy and including people who you've met who have come here from time to time. And what I really valued in that was the sense of the depths of God's work in every different person's experience. And one of the ways in which that was expressed was in our prayer times. We had a lot of prayer times together, and we had a lot of open prayer together. And we always said to people, pray in your heart language. And that is still something that, for me, is so special, that everyone would pray, because of all these different languages, in their heart language. So that is an expression of the deep work of God, that people express that from their hearts in their heart language. So there's a bit of a challenge for us this morning. What's in our heart? Is this covenant something that is deep within our experience? Or if not, can it be deeper? Secondly, I think it can be wider. This new covenant is not just for one nation, not just for Israel. It is for all peoples. There's a universal invitation in the new covenant. It's for all the nations of the earth. And those of us who were involved over the years in Spurgeon's College in London, one of the great joys was to see this community of people in Spurgeon's College becoming more and more diverse because of course, London and other parts of this country becoming more and more diverse. And it was also particularly exciting for me as a historian to go back in the history and see in the 19th century that Spurgeon, who founded the college, was particularly wanting to have black students from America who applied to the college, being in the college. And he actually, you might be slightly shocked by this, he said, I don't want white Americans in the college. And it wasn't because he was against white people, but he said they've got plenty of resources that look after them in America in the 19th century. But the black African Americans, they don't have those. So if they want to come here, I want to welcome them. That's pretty good, isn't it? And it is part of the new covenant, which is widening and widening, as the book of Revelation says, from every tribe and language and people and nation, God has his people. And finally, I think there is something about the way in which this experience of the new covenant brings us face to face with Jesus. Zacchaeus, up a tree, but coming face to face with Jesus, choosing a new life. It's interesting that the story of Zacchaeus comes after the story of the rich man who didn't choose that life. Do you remember that story? Where Jesus challenged him. Are you going to follow me? Are you going to choose me, or are you going to choose the security of your wealth? And he chose the security of his wealth, and he wouldn't follow Jesus. Zacchaeus chose to follow Jesus, and he came to an experience that he had never experienced before. And we have come to that experience as we've come to the meal this morning. We've come to an experience of Christ in our midst, because that's what it is, as he renews his covenant with us and we renew our covenant with him. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that he prays that all of you and all of us, being rooted and grounded in love, and that's his grace, that's his covenant, that's the one covenant. There's no different covenant. It's only a covenant of grace. May we be rooted and grounded in this. May we have power together with all the saints, all people, all over the world, all languages. May we have power to comprehend the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of God's love, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.